Father, I just come. Lord, and I am. I consider myself the most blessed pastor on the planet. Lord, I consider myself the most blessed follower of Jesus Christ on the planet. Lord, my life has been marked by your goodness. My life has been marked by your faithfulness. Lord, you are the God of more than enough. You're the God of overflowing. And Lord, if we're willing to walk with you, we're willing to believe in you, then really the stars are the limit. There is no limitation. And so, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. Lord, and your goodness toward me has nothing to do with me. Lord, I am sometimes amazed that you chased me down. I'm amazed that you came after me. And you did that only because you love me. And you haven't stopped loving me. So we give you thanks. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? God's good. You know, we've been going through the book of Romans. And the reason in this church we study whole books of the Bible. We do that because I'm convinced that you remember the Word of God better that way. That you, as opposed to topics, you know, a lot of places they do topical teachings, and I do it from time to time, but I like to take whole books of the Bible for this reason. When you hear an amazing sermon from me, which is every week, you know, I want you to remember where that sermon was. That way when you go to work and you talk to your coworkers and you tell your coworkers, you know what? I have an amazing pastor, and he preached just like the best sermon I've ever heard in my whole life. This is a good time to say yes and clap and acknowledge. There you go. Good job. That you can, when they ask you, well, where? What did he say? You'll know it's coming from the book of what? Romans. You'll know where to find it. And that's, I think, the best way, because I've heard pastors preach some amazing topical stuff, but when I went to tell somebody, I didn't know where it was. I'm like, you know, somewhere in the Bible, right? And this way you learn it better by doing books by books. But if you haven't been here, say you're like, oh, pastor, man, I wish I would have been here from the beginning to catch, you know, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, because we're up to chapter 5. If you haven't been here, we're going to catch you up in 7 minutes. Are you ready? 7 minutes. We're going to catch. Well, I'm not going to do it. Somebody will. So just look at the video. The local group of guys, they're the best communicators on the planet. I mean, if you really want to know the Bible, get on there and they give you some, you know, some all this on a bunch of the books of the Bible, as well as some of the complex terms, the Bible Project. So encourage you to do that. But what we're going to look at, we've already looked at the first four chapters. And so today in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is going to really explain how we got into the sin mess. Like, how do we end up messed up, right? How is this world, how did it get this way? And then how do we get out of it? Those are really the two things he's going to look at. And so I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to answer those three questions based on the scripture. So go ahead and turn with me to Romans 5, beginning in verse 12. So here's the first question. Where did sin and death come from? Awesome question. If you want to know, you know, where did sin and death come from? Unless you're like younger Nate, then you want to know where babies come from. But otherwise, when you're an adult, you want to know where sin and death came from. Here we go, verse 12. It says, therefore, whenever you read the Bible, therefore, it's really saying as a result of what I just told you. So the result of what I just told you in the first four chapters, therefore, right? Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world. So it's telling you, somebody, one person introduced sin into the world. Sin is really to miss the mark, right? It's to fail. Really, it's to not live up to the image that God has. We're image bearers of God. So to sin is to live beneath what God has planned for you and I. And that is sin. So it says sin entered through this one person. And then here's this progression. Because sin entered, all kinds of bad stuff starts happening. And death through sin. That death is a result of sin. We live now in a fallen world. And thus, death spread to all men because all have sin. Okay? Now, there's this theological debate going on about what he's talking about all have sin. And it goes this way. Are they saying that we've sinned because Adam sinned? And a lot of scholars believe that's what it means. And then there's another school of thought that says, well, no, we sin too. I think both are really the answer. that we sin because, in a sense, biblically speaking, we were in the loins of Adam. And so when Adam sinned, that sin has progressed down to us. And then also, but I think someone would say, well, man, it's Adam's fault. No, and so I think the other aspect of this is we have also sinned. We know better, and yet we make choices that go contrary to what God has for us. That is sin. That is missing the mark. And then it goes on, and it tries to explain how this happened. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or accounted or put into your account or ledgered when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam all the way to Moses. Remember, that's where the law was given. So he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam all the way to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. What he's talking about is this. We've been talking about the law, right? But he's saying that people were sinning even before the law was given. But not like Adam, because Adam was given really a rule from God. He was told what to do, what not to do. And yet he violated that. So sin came through Adam, and so Adam corrupted himself. And if you've taken our discipleship program, you know that he died in two ways. He first died what? Spiritually, right? And then he died what? Physically, right? Muth, I think is what we say, it is in the Hebrew, right? Die, yes. And so he died first spiritually, and then the implication of that, he died spiritually. And then it says death reigned. But here's an interesting thing. Some people, when they read that, they're like, well, why is God getting on Adam? I thought Eve was the one that messed up first. Here's a principle you got to understand. Men, you got to know this. I often type in, you know, they read in the Bible where they understand that they're supposed to provide leadership in their family, and you are spiritual leadership. You're the leader of your home. But understand this. If something goes wrong, guess who God's going to go up and look for? You. Yeah, Sonia's pointing to Daniel. Yeah, you, buddy. You. See, sometimes men are like, yeah, I want to be in charge of my home. Okay, understand what that means. So you have a responsibility, a huge responsibility. And so Adam's responsibility was to protect Eve. And here's another distinction. Also, Eve was deceived, but Adam, he knew what he was doing, and he was willful in his disobedience. So that's a huge distinction. Huge distinction. But man, you're responsible. And I tell you what, that's a heavy, weighty thing. Even after your kids grow up, I'm still, you know, my kids are in their 30s. I got my oldest kid is 35 years old. And we had her when we were in grade school. And, you know, we, grammar school, I mean, God, we were old people. And, but you know what? I'm always encouraging my kids. Always, they make their own decisions. They make their own choices, right? But I'm always encouraging them, always leading them back to the Lord. And, but it says that sin came by one man, Adam. He corrupted himself, and he died spiritually and then physically. And Adam's sin was willful. Now look at what the Lord had told him in Genesis 2:17. Can you imagine? He's in the Garden of Eden. I mean, we live among the most beautiful place on the planet. I think Oregon and Colorado are probably the two most beautiful places. But I think, I mean, we're looking at the fallen world. I can imagine what the Garden of Eden was like. The beauty of the Garden of Eden. And so the Lord says, "You, Adam, all this stuff, beautiful, it's all yours." He says, there's just one thing I'm saying not to do. And just one thing. Well, it's one thing I'm withholding from you. He says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall what? Not eat. Pretty clear. Shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall what? Surely die. You know, it's kind of interesting. The devil later on, we know, comes and he questions God. He always does that. Even in our day, he questions God. You know, but what is this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? All kinds of ideas. I think part of included is to determine what's right and what's wrong. Like, it's like, well, no, I'll decide, Lord, what's right and what's wrong. See, that's why we're a messed up nation. Well, that's why we're a messed up world, because man thinks that they can decide what is right and what is wrong. In fact, the scripture says in the last days, that which is good will be called evil. That which is evil will be called good. We live in those very days. We live in those very days. Some of the most evil, perverted things are considered good in our day. And those things that are good and right and righteous and pure are now being considered evil. And so man cannot be the determiner of what is right and wrong. God is. So if you want to know what is right and what is wrong, don't take your cue from Hollywood. Those people are messed up. They couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. They really couldn't, you know. For how slick they can produce movies, they can, you know, don't take your cues from any political party. I don't care, you know, how aligned you are. Don't take your cue, right? You take your cue from this book, amen, from this holy book. If you want to know what's right and wrong, you look into this book and God will tell you, amen? Amen. So he says, you shall surely die. So what happened to Adam? Sin and that the propensity or the nature, the sin nature was passed on and to everybody. And so it was inherited by his kids. We are his kids too. We're responsible for our own sin. And the proof that somehow, even though there was no law, that people kept sinning was how they treated one another all the way through until the law was given to them. What caused people to sin? There's this propensity. And I don't know how it passed down. You know, sometimes I get called as a pastor. A lot of times I get called as a pastor to go visit people in the hospital. And when I'm talking to people, sometimes I'm always like, you know, listening. And people say, you know, I've got this thing. I've got this abnormality with, you know, my DNA. And my dad had the abnormality. And my grandpa had the abnormality. So I'm like, As well as people that are involved in, like, say, addiction recovery. You know, same thing. They say, you know, chances are if you have a problem with alcohol, chances are, you know, your dad had it. Chances are your mom had it. I mean, there's this thing that follows down the line. So my sense is this, that sin affects us at not only at the spiritual level. I believe it affects the soul of man, but I think it also can affect us at the DNA level. But not all hope is lost, and we're going to see that, right? So the disobedience of Adam changed everything. And it comes down even to us today. Look what Psalms 53:3 says. And I love how many times it says it. It says, everyone, that includes you and I, right? Every one of them has what? Turned aside. They have together become what? Corrupt. Oh. There is what? None who does good. Oh my goodness. None? He figured you're gonna say, what? None? So he answers that, no, not one. I love the Bible. Just you know, God just knows what we're going to ask. No, not one. Okay? Like, oh my goodness. And if you don't believe that, take care of a 2-year-old, you know, for an afternoon, right? Come on. There's something that was passed down. Unless maybe the 2-year-old learned to act the way he acts from you. But you know, I've never seen an adult flop down at the middle of Fred Meyer and just throw a tantrum. I've never seen an adult do that. Right? Screaming and beating and, you know, foaming at the mouth. You know, I haven't seen that. So my suspicion is you're not teaching your kid to act that way. There's something that was passed down. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is going to get at. And he talks about Adam. He says, Adam, who is a type, right, of him who was to come. Adam, a type, a comparison. So he says, it's almost like Adam stood as the head of humanity, as a representative of humanity. But he's saying, you got to understand that Christ also stands as a representative of humanity. And what he's trying to get at is this, that if Adam, as the one who stands on behalf of humanity, if he made choices that affected humanity, then Jesus will make choices that now affects humanity in the positive, right? Got to understand that. Now, the question for me is this. Which man will you identify with? Which man will you identify with Adam, or will you identify with Jesus? So here's the second thing, right? So now the first one, where did sin and death come from? Here's the second question I'm going to ask. Can sin and death be counteracted? Like, okay, it sounds like we're in a mess, Pastor. But what can be done about it? Let's go verse 15. And the Apostle Paul begins to talk about this free gift. I mean, this portion of scripture we're going to cover, man, this ministered so much to me when I was a new believer. I got this, and it transformed my world. In fact, before every service, I pray what I learned here. Every service, I declare what I learned here. Right? And now I'm going to give you an insight as to what I learned here. Here we go. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. He said, don't think they're equal. Right? And now we need to hear that, because in our world, we think somehow good and evil are like equal, like struggling. Oh, you know, evil's ahead and then good is ahead. And evil's ahead, you know, the kingdom of darkness. And, you know, we get it from Star Wars, you know. Right, Luke. No, that's not Star Wars. Yes, it is. Okay. I grew up in the streets, man. Yeah, Pam's like, don't you know all these nursery rhymes? No, I grew up in the streets. What are you talking about? You know, all these stories, what? But, you know, we get this thing about this struggle with good and evil, and they're equal. They're not even close. And that's what he's saying, man. It's not like that. It's not like that. But it's something even greater. So he's going to make the case for that. He says, but the free gift is not like the offense. Don't even compare them. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Here we go. He's getting there. He's narrowing it down. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, meaning people died, right? They're found guilty. People died. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Here's what he's saying, and here's the difference. He's saying when Adam died, right, one disobedience caused this whole mess. But when Jesus showed up, he said the mess had been piling up. Sin had been piling up, right? Everything from, because he's talking from Adam all the way through. So sin is piling up. And first you got a mountain. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, through the ages, then you've got a mountain range of sin. I mean, it's piling up. It's piling up. And when Jesus shows up, what he does not only deals with that mount of sin, the mountain range of sin, what had piled up before, but actually deals what's yet to come. You got to know that, because when I got that, I'm like, it clicked with me. Wait a minute. If he can deal with a mountain range of sin, surely he can deal with my mountain of sin. Amen. Do you get that? Because sometimes believers, you hear this voice saying, oh man, I don't know. You've done some cruddy stuff. You've done some cruddy stuff. You thought some cruddy stuff. Right? You thought some cruddy stuff. And maybe what Jesus did was not enough. You got to hear that. It was more than enough. I mean, more than enough. Don't ever listen to that voice that tries to condemn you. That's what he's saying. Man, when Jesus showed up, right, it resulted in justification, not guilty. Being right with God. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned or death ruled, and it did, because everybody has died 100% except for Elijah and Enoch. Of course, Jesus was raised from the dead, pretty much 100% throughout history. So death reigned through the one. But he says, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, talking about you and I, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. What he says is this, we're going to triumph over sin. You got to get this also. You got to get it. He's just saying death was ruling. But now, because you and I have said yes to Jesus, we're followers of Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. We're not just holding on. Right? It's like, okay, sometimes believers, it's almost like they have a ball and chain, you know. Oh, I'm barely making it till Jesus comes. And he's, you gotta knock that off. You gotta quit thinking that way. The ball and chains were cut off. You're free to run, you're free to sprint. Right? I've set you totally free. And in fact, you're to overcome sin. Sin is not to have dominion. It did when you were over here. Right? Death reigned, sin reigned, it controlled you. But over here, we're to be free from sin. And somehow the enemy lies to you. Oh, you've been having problem drinking for 10 years. You've been having problem for drinking for 20 years. That's the way you're going to be. You've been having these evil thoughts. You got to understand that he set you free, and now righteousness and holiness is to reign. That we've been set free. Sin shouldn't have its way with us. I wake up in the morning expecting not to sin. You know, that's weird. So a lot of believers are like, what? I expect not to sin. That's the way to wake up. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. Because I want the fullness of what you have for me. I want the fullness of what you have for me. I want to walk in that. Because Jesus didn't come just to and leave heaven and pay the price that he paid just so I can hang on. You know? He said, no, the gift of righteousness will reign now. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, one man's righteous act, talking about Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification for life. So Jesus is the antidote, is what he's saying. He brings freedom, and so now you have a new ruler. You're no longer under the old ruler. You're no longer under the old order. You're in a new order. Anything is now possible. God's gift differs entirely. Yeah, Adam was corrupted, and he corrupted the human race, but Jesus shows up, right, and he made everything right. He's restoring everything right. He counteracts the damage. And so I looked at this way. I said, Lord, give me a couple analogies that maybe people can get. And maybe I'm coming up with an analogy because I'm going to go see the doctor tomorrow morning. When am I having checked? I'm something checked. But my eyes. There you go. My eyes. They don't work like they used to. It's not because I'm old or nothing. But anyway, I said, Lord, give me an analogy that people would understand that what Adam did in all the chaos is no comparison to the free gift of Jesus, right? It's no comparison. And so this is the sense that I got. It's like you go to the doctor and he's got two shots, right? He's got two shots. Well, this shot is to really take care of a flu. So you go to the doctor and you're like, oh, doctor, I don't feel good. And he gives you the shot, takes care of the flu. You're like, well, it's not bad. But this other shot, you know, this other shot is reserved for people that die, right? You die. Okay, let's give him a shot. Brings you back to life. Now, are those shots equal? Are they even close? Not even close. As powerful as this one maybe was to take care of the flu, this one brings you back to life. And that's what Jesus does. We're born again. We're born again. He brought us to life. That's the big difference. That's the chasm. See, sometimes we think that we're, you know, because of how we've lived, we're like minus 10. Like, man, Lord, I'm like minus 10 on the register. And we think now that Jesus has come, we're now plus. He's given us plus 10, so we're like equal now. You got to understand that what Jesus did, you're plus 10 billion. It's not even close. Quit hanging on. Begin to walk in the freedom that he bought for you. See, just change clothes if you need to. Let that be a visual, right? Change clothes. Run naked through the street. I don't care what it takes, you know? Just I'm free, right? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes that you will get it. That I'm not going to let that old stuff hang on to me. Am I talking to anybody here that... Okay. How many have got old stuff that hangs on sometimes? Raise your hand. Okay. Because the rest of you are just 3 weeks old. So there's old... You gotta let that old stuff down. Some of that is childhood stuff. Some of that stuff, family stuff. Some of that is stuff that's happened to us. You gotta learn. Guess what? That's old stuff. Instead, Jesus set us free. Here's the way Jesus said it. I love the way he said it. In John 10:10. Here, look at this contrast. John 10:10. He says, the thief. Now, who's the thief? Right? The evil one, right? He says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if you've had anything stolen from you, right? If you had your innocence stolen from you, you know who did it, right? If you had your dreams killed, you know who did it. If you had your health destroyed, you know who did it. See, the enemy is so good, he comes and he steals, he kills, and he destroys, and somehow he puts the blame on God. As a pastor, people come to me and they tell me their story and they're blaming God. I'm like, whoa, stop. That's not God. Don't confuse God. Right? I remember one lady one time. I'm running out of time, but I'll tell you the story because it's I remember this one lady one time. Somebody brought her to church. And so she came in. And so this was a week. I generally don't pray with our ministry team because our ministry, we got some awesome ministry team. They don't need my help. But this one day, it's like the Lord saying, okay, stand with one of the ministry team and pray. So, okay, I'm going to pray with them. And so this lady comes for prayer. And I hear clearly the Lord says, when she comes up, tell her it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the devil, right? And so she comes up, and I don't know this lady, never seen her before. I said, Lord, I don't know your story, but the Lord said it wasn't him, that it was the devil. And she just broke down. I mean, it was uncomfortable. She was on the ground, weeping, snot. I mean, just, woo, bad, right? I'm like, whoa, what was that about? And so she gets up and she says, you know, she talked about something that was done to her in her childhood. And she said, she goes, I can't believe I blame God. She goes, it's obvious. It's like the blinders came off. She goes, it's obvious it was the devil. She goes, I was so mad at God, I gave myself over to witchcraft. She was a witch, right? Had given herself over to witchcraft because I was so mad at God. And the blinders came off and walked away from that life. I mean, that's how good God is, right? And that's how cunning the enemy is. See, some of you think God did you wrong. No, it's the devil that did you wrong. You see, Jesus here, he's going to talk about what he did. He says, I have come. So just so you don't get it wrong, I'm going to tell you what I've come. I've come that you may have what? Life. That's what he's for. And that you may have it what? More abundantly. He says, man, I'm here to give you a life like you've never had, right? He says, you thought you could party? I tell you what, party with me, right? You thought you were having a great old time? You're going to have a great old time with me. I mean, it is. That's why when I made a decision to walk away from this life, that's one of the scriptures. I'm like, I want that abundant life. I mean, I thought I was living a good life. That doesn't compare to the life that he's given me. Amen? Doesn't even compare. And so I wake up every morning expecting the abundant life. Rarely will you come and ask me, hey, Pastor, how's things going? Oh, it's terrible. I don't live there. I shake stuff off because I know what he has for me. He's got the abundant life for me, right? And I know if I'm not reaching the abundant life, the problem is not God, it's usually me. I'm being lazy, or I got distracted, or I got diverted or something. It's not him, it's me. So what I do is, okay, Lord, I'm focused again. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm grateful that some things, when I got discipled as a new believer, I'm grateful that I was taught this. You know what? You got to be in the Word. If you want to know about God, you got to be in the Word. Right? If you're not in the Word, then you're ignorant about God. So I'm glad that I was taught the importance of the Word. The other thing is I was taught to be in church no matter what. And you know what that meant? Is until I clicked. I mean, if you knew how long I went to church with booze on my breath before, but I was going to be there because they taught me, you got to be in church. And so I'm an encourager. I don't care if you came from the bar, you know. It's a little early, but, you know, when you got a problem, you got a problem. But you got to be here. You got to be here. And that was me. You know, I'd go to church and I'm hugging people like this, you know, holding my breath. I know all the tricks, people. I know all the tricks, you know. But you know what? I knew I'm in the right place. And one day it fell off of me. Amen. Delivered. And so that's what's ahead for you. The abundant life. Amen. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. Here's the third one. I'm going to close her up here. But what can we conclude as a result of everything that the Apostle Paul's telling us, he's gonna just narrow it even more. Look at verse 19. For as by one's man disobedience, once again talking about Adam, many were made sinners. So also by one's man's obedience, talking about Jesus, many were made righteous. Here's what you gotta understand. Remember, Adam was born sinless, but he rebelled, messed things up. Jesus was born sinless and he remained sinless. So guess what? As the one who stands on behalf of humanity, changed everything. Not just a little. I mean, change the landscape. What's possible? You know, it's like this. And I don't know. I've never been a smoker. I was when I was younger than I should have been. But it's almost like, you know, sometimes they call it white knuckling. Ah, someone's trying to quit and they're white knuckling it. You know, that's a way a lot of believers live. They're white knuckling it. No, that's not the way you're supposed to live. Abundant life, right? Abundant life. Celebrate. Lord, you've got something good for me today. Right? Because that's why Jesus came. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous, right with God. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, the reason God gave the law is so people would realize, whoa, we're mistreating people, right? It's for them to know what they're not supposed to do. It's like this, your kids. Right? You come home and your kids are jumping on the bed. And sometimes we get mad at them. They don't know they're kids. They didn't know there's a law against jumping on the bed. Right? They're just jumping. But then as a dad, you say, hey, no jumping on the bed. Now there's a law, right? Now there's a law. And so you're going to handle it differently. I would say when you first handle it with grace. Because they don't know, they're kids. But once you lay down a law, right, you handle it differently. Right? Like my dad. That's what my dad's like. You know? The law of dad. Kept me out of jail. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Ooh, I love this. See, sometimes he says, sin was piling up, but the grace of God, see, this word means superabounded. Super, once again, you're thinking, I know the enemy tells you, oh, what you've done is cruddy. What you've done is so vile. So, once again, you got to get in your head. How vile, in that mountain range of sin, how vile do you think that, I mean, it's putrid. Yeah, it's my accent. Putrid. I mean, it stinks. It stinks. And yet, what Jesus did, the grace, the free gift, is able to deal with it. You got to get in your head that it's good enough to deal with your stuff. Once and for all, shake it off. Shake it off. There's a sweet smell that comes from you now. Verse 20, so that sin's reign, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign in righteousness. It means a godly standard. So God raises a standard. There's a new standard for you and I, holiness. We're not supposed to keep living the old way. If you're still living the old way, guess what? You need to change that today. So wait a minute, God called me to holiness. He calls me to higher standard. Right? And I'm going to live by that standard. And you know what it is. I pray for you. I said, Lord, if they're doing stuff they shouldn't do, you tell them. And I know the Lord speaks to you. And some of you are like hard-headed. You're like, I don't want to hear it. No, don't harden your heart. If you want to walk into the fullness that God has for you, you got to obey. That's the way you get there. You're not going to walk in the fullness that God has for you by being a hard-hearted person. You're not going to get there. But instead, he says, what's going to reign now is righteousness or a godly standard of right living to eternal life. He's got eternal life for you. I'm going to finish with this. Jesus talks to a lady who had experienced loss in John 11, verse 25 and 26. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Man, I resurrect dreams. I resurrect hopes. I resurrect bodies. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You and I are eternal, man. And the way I look at it in my head, I've already begun eternity. I'm not waiting, okay, I'm going to wait to die, be translated to heaven, then I'm going to really start. No, I'm already living that this now. You got to understand that. These young guys know when someone comes to me and says, when someone comes to me that says, you know, I feel the Lord's calling to ministry, I say, okay, it starts today. What? See, because people say, well, I got to go to Bible college and I got to wait to. No, man, you're going to be stale as bread. By the time that happens, you start today, right? You start today. And so eternity already started today. Sorry if some of you went to Bible college. You're in Bible college now. He said, you shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says, do you believe this? So I'm going to finish with this question. Same question I asked earlier. Which man do you identify with, right? Which man do you identify with? Herbert, which man do you identify with? Adam or Jesus, because it makes all the choice, all the difference. See, if you're going to continue to identify with Adam the old way, then you're going to be a slave to sin. You're going to be a slave to your emotions. You're going to be like this up and down every day. You're going to be a slave to fear. You're going to be a slave to lie. Whatever the culture says, you're going to believe it. You're going to be a slave to rebellion. You're going to be ultimately It leads to destruction. But you identify with Jesus. Whoa, man. You walk in freedom. You wake up in the morning and say, man, today's a good day. You're going to walk in holiness. All those old habits, you're going to get rid of them. There's going to be self-control. You're going to believe the truth and walk in the truth, obedience, and ultimately you're going to walk in abundant life. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's get up and worship the Lord. He's worthy to be praised.